Thessalonians 2:14. 2 Thessalonians, tall that God reached down into our hearts and our lives. 2 Thessalonians, it's right before 1 Thessalonians. So if you get to Timothy, amen. Sometimes my English and my Spanish, I apologize. Sometimes it gets mixed up, so I'll say things like that. Glory to God. That's just because that's a problem that I got to battle with every day. Amen. Sometimes it wants to come out in Spanish and English, and sometimes it wants to come out in both. Glory. Just as long as it doesn't come out in ghetto, we'll be good. Amen. Hallelujah. Did I tell you I was trilingual? Amen. I could speak Spanish, English, and ghetto. So just as long as I don't speak ghetto, it'll be good-o. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 2:14. The Word of God says, to which he called you by our gospel for the obtaining of the glory of our Lord, Jesus Christ. Let's pray tonight. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your great work. We thank you for your resurrection power. We thank you for the blood. We thank you for our salvation, that call, God, that you laid out onto our lives. God, as our lives were redeemed, restored, and set free, we thank you for all that you're going to do in the name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. Responding to the gospel call. See, I remember When my wife and I got together, it started out where I met my wife. We got to know one another, and then I left, and I was stationed in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. So then there was an opportunity. We sent letters, and my wife still has these letters. She brought it open. She said, let's read our letters. I said, no. She's like, no, let's read these letters. So she had me there, and I was reading all these letters, the mushy tushies and all the, oh, I love you and all these other things. And listen, that's great. But I was in North Carolina. I wasn't going to see my wife, amen, or my girlfriend at the time. So we wrote letters, then I had an opportunity. I don't know if you are in the military or if you were. There's a thing called stateside swap. What that is you get an opportunity. You find somebody here, and you are over there. And what you do is you submit the paperwork, and if it gets approved, I just took a chance. It was like throwing out a fishing line. I put the paperwork in. Lo and behold, it gets approved. But the duty station that I was going to be at was, how many know it's better than all the way in Fort Bragg, North Carolina, and she's in Merced, California. You know, so it's a whole lot better, but I was still going to be 4 hours away. While we're there, she would call me, and I remember when she would call me at all times of the day, and when we got together, we didn't have cell phones. We had beepers, but we didn't have cell phones. Amen. Some of you don't know what beepers are. Glory to God. Look it up. Google it, and you'll be able to see it. Amen. But she would call me at all times of the day, sometimes early, sometimes late. I couldn't call her because, you would have to deposit money into it, and I was poor. Amen. I was broke. So she would call me, and living in the barracks, there was a payphone, one payphone for the whole floor. We didn't have telephones there in our rooms, but that payphone was there in the middle of the hallway. People would go, and all kinds of different people, as soon as they heard, they would pick it up. And the first thing they would say is, Barajas, she's calling you again. Barajas, 11 o'clock at night. Barajas, 1 o'clock in the morning. Barajas. And all they would say is, Barajas, she's calling you. She's calling you again. See, it didn't matter what time it was. I responded because it was important to me. Whether I was tired, whether I had just fallen asleep, I would go to sleep, and there after a few moments, a few minutes, I would hear, Barajas, she's calling you again. But listen, because the call was important, I responded to it. See, the call to respond to Jesus should be in a more important, a call that you and I cannot afford to miss. To receive the salvation of our soul means that we are made sure that that call, listen to me, to receive the salvation of our soul, we should make sure that we do not miss that call, because that call is even more important than the calls you receive now. Here in our text, it says that when we were told the good news, see, this call means the preaching of the gospel news of Jesus Christ. When you share the message of salvation, what you are doing is you are giving people the opportunity to answer that call. God uses you and I, people, to share the message, the message of Christ. God calls people to faith, using people's lives to touch people. Pastor Tom Paine made this statement. He said, sheep bring sheep. What that means is, many of people are not going to come because of the pastor, because of here or there. They're going to come because of you. He said, sheep bring sheep. If you are here tonight, you are here because somebody told you about Jesus. And that's why it's important, and it is so important that we just don't keep that message within us. How many know that that message was not meant to just be kept within us, but we are to express ourselves about what Jesus is doing upon our lives. The Bible says, how else will they hear unless somebody tells them? See, there is no other way for people to be able to hear. Somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to be there, and be that voice. Somebody has to be that person that expresses themselves. In the first part of our text, he says that he called you to salvation. See, while we as God's people speak, God begins to work through those words that are spoken. He begins effectively working through and behind the scenes, that God working in an effective manner to fulfill, that people's lives get saved. Acts 16:14 says, now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. She was a seller of purple from the city of Thyatira, who worshiped God. The Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. See, Lydia listened to Paul tell her about Jesus. The word of God says that she heeded the words in her heart. In other words, God opened her heart to hear. This guy was not a very good guy. I don't know about you, but I was not a good person when it came to what I thought was religion. I told my wife, I said, you tell me again, and something's going to happen. I said, I don't want to hear you. But just like my wife, she continued. She did not give up. And she said, no, I know that you're shutting me out. I know that you're closing me out. I know that you're not trying to listen to me. I know all these things, but yet Jesus still loves you. Imagine what would have happened to my life if she would have said, he doesn't want to listen. I'm going to stop telling him. Imagine for yourself the very first time you heard the message. No doubt, amen, there are some that listen to the word and they heed to it right away, amen. But man is in the same way many of times. You hear the word and you don't want to hear it. You hear the word and it's like it's going in one and going out the other. Because she heeded and God opened her heart, the word of God says that her whole house, that she was saved, not only her, but also her and her whole household. Could it be tonight that God wants to save you so that you are able to reach, amen, those that are in your community or in your household? Could it be that God saved you, brought you to a recollection of who he is as God, amen, was able to penetrate that hardness of your heart so that you can be that person that is able to reach your people, your household? Because how many know that I don't know your household, but you do? You don't know my household, but I do. And that's why, beloved, I am able, just like you are able. See, God saved her, amen, and also not only her, but her household. See, we have tonight to realize how important it is to tell others of the good news. The alarm tonight has to be sounded. How many know what the Roman road, how many have ever heard of the Roman road to salvation? Anybody? Nobody? Write these down. Amen. It is very good. It is called the Roman road to salvation. Romans 3:23, it says, amen, that all have sinned. Romans 6:23, it says the penalty of sin is death. Romans 5:8, Jesus died to pay the price. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10:9 and 10, if we confess, we can be forgiven. Romans 10:13, amen. It says, for all who call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That is called the Romans road to salvation. That is an effective way if you want to be able to testify and tell people about the love of Jesus Christ. You can use those scriptures to be able to let people know that, listen, you're not the only one that has sinned. All have sinned. But, amen, the penalty for our sin without Christ is death. For all who call upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, shall be saved. Secondly, the gospel invites people to respond. Matthew 11, 28 through 2 through 30 says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your soul. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. See, that's exactly what Jesus did. There should always be an invitation for people tonight to be able to answer the call. How many know that we don't go to a restaurant and just sit there and just wait and order our own food? A waitress or waiter come in and they invite you to partake of the services that they offer there. The services that you are to offer, amen, it's not where you are going to fill your belly, but where your soul is going to find rest. When a person responds to what they've heard, God begins and he promises two things, forgiveness and eternal life. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. John 6:37 says, all that the Father gives me will come to me. And the one that comes to me, I will by no means cast out. See, God gives you and I tonight eternal life by the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. Lastly, how many want a new life? Listen, I don't know about you. I thought I had a good life. But you can have a wonderful life. And that's a life that only Jesus can give you. You can go, you can change your appearance, you can lose weight. You can gain weight, you can buy new clothes, you can buy old clothes, it doesn't matter. You can try everything within you to try to change you, but that's just from the outside. Jesus changes you from the inside out. He gives you a new life tonight. Ezekiel 36:26, he gives you a new heart. Can I tell you that that old you, I don't know about you, but to me it was not good. I was not good, folks. And can I tell you, you were probably in the same boat. It was just a different flavor, just like the Kool-Aids. Amen. It all tastes the same, but different flavors. See, my heart was wicked. And only God knew the wickedness of my life. That no matter how good I tried to be, that old nastiness of me kept coming out. It kept coming out. And no matter how much I tried to cover him up, no matter how many band-aids I tried to put over the wounds, the blood, amen, the bloodshed continued. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, therefore, if any is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. Behold, we are made anew. See, that's what God does to you and I tonight. He makes you new. See, it is God who is responsible for giving you and I tonight a new life. See, the one that shares the gospel message cannot give it to you. You know, everywhere I go, the other day, Adrian and I were witnessing to a gentleman outside. No matter how much we talked, we cannot give him a new life that belongs to Jesus. The one that shares the gospel message, amen, could not do it. And the one hearing it cannot receive it. It is, amen, everything that we get, beloved, it comes directly from God. That's what God does when he touches people's lives. Because God has done that, our lives will forevermore be transformed. Matthew 22, 37 through 40 says, Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. See, tonight we should feel a new love for God and for other Christians, believers. John 14, 15 says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Galatians 5, 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. We should begin to, we should begin more and more as we begin to know the love of Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, you should be less and less like you and more like Christ. How should you respond? See, we should trust tonight that Christ, that he knows better than you and I. This means that it's more than just knowing facts. Who Jesus is and what he did. He was born. He laid down his life upon the cross. He resurrected. That's who Jesus is, who you and I are. We are sinners. We are lost. We are facing our penalty. And can I tell you tonight, hell is a real place. It's not a make-believe. Those are facts. It's more than just accepting and agreeing that they are true. We tonight have to trust that Jesus, for being our Lord and Savior, that he is able to save your life. I know you might seem like you might wear a halo, but we're wicked, folks. I don't know about you. We're wicked. See, tonight, I no longer just believe the facts. I trust that Jesus saved my life. My dependency is not just on knowing here, but on believing here in my life. There are two aspects to what we do tonight, and that is to trust. There are two aspects to be able to trust. Repentance and faith. Repentance means turning away from your sins. Faith means trusting him for everything. See, we tonight have to admit that we've tried everything, and yet we are still trying because those things that we tried did not work. See, I was an alcoholic, folks. You had your own sin. I had my sins. I tried to stop drinking. What I would do is I would stop for just a few days, a week, maybe if it was a good try, 2 weeks. But then I fell, and I would fall harder and harder every time that I fell, that I gave myself back into my sin. I would say, I can't continue to watch what I'm watching. And I would stop and I would say, I'm not going to go and get no more. But then all of a sudden, the lust of my flesh rose up and I began to watch those things again. Everything that I did, folks, I tried, amen, and I tried. And everything that I tried did not work. How many know that we are in the same boat? No matter how much we've tried, still nothing has worked. Acts 20, 21 says, testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. When you begin to trust, when you begin to rest, when our lives are in Christ, things change. We are able to have a good breakthrough and a lasting breakthrough. And can I tell you tonight, it's been going on 27 years. When I first got saved, I was scared to go through the liquor aisles. I would see those aisles and I'd be like, let me go this way. Because I was scared to fall. I was scared to go through those parts. Listen, those parts in the stores that we're not supposed to be able to see. I said, I can't go through there. And I don't go through there no more, folks. Because I've had dominion over those things that caused me to fall. Can I tell you tonight, God can give you dominion. See, as you and I believe that we can live the rest of our lives in that manner. Colossians 2:6 says, as you have received Christ, so walk in him. Christ is able to change your life for the long haul. I'm going to tell you the saddest, this to me is the saddest, I don't know about you, but to me, it's the saddest verses in the Bible. And that's in Acts 26, 28, and 29. Paul is talking to King Agrippa. The Bible says, then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Verse 29, and Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me this day might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. This man said, you almost got me. Can I tell you, folks, when I tell somebody about Jesus, my end hope is not to almost get them, but it's so that they can come to the acceptance of who Jesus is. And this man makes a statement and he says, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. But yet, he rejects the message. We don't hear King Agrippa anymore. See, let's not be tonight, this king, and not accept this great call. Because tonight, beloved, the call is not only for one, but it is for all. Let me have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. King Agrippa makes a statement. He says, you almost persuaded me to become a Christian. Paul says, not only you, but all would become except in these chains. See, tonight, Jesus wants to touch your life. He wants to set you free. You might be walking in freedom. You might be walking in all different things. And let me tell you tonight, even though you cannot see him, you are bound by the chains that hold you in your sin. Jesus wants to break those chains. Jesus wants to open that prison door that has you, sealed up. You might be, doing everything possible that you think you can. Tonight, will you try Jesus? Tonight, will you give Jesus the opportunity that you are giving everything else? Jesus wants to touch your life. You've tried doctors. You've tried medications. You've tried all kinds of different things. Now tonight, will you trust in the one that can set you free and set you free indeed? You're here tonight, you're not saved. You're here tonight, you're not right with God. You're backslidden in your heart. Your heart is not right with God. God is calling you tonight. He's calling you because he loves you. He doesn't want anything else from you. He calls you simply because you were made in his image, but sin separated you from him. And tonight, you want to come back. You want to come to the foot of the cross tonight. You want to accept Jesus Christ into your life. Would that be you tonight? Would you answer the call tonight? You're backslidden, you're not right, or you've never given your heart to the Lord. Would you give Jesus the opportunity tonight? Simply do one thing. Raise your hand. Raise it. I want to pray for you tonight. Amen. Hallelujah. Kids are raising their hands. How about you, adults? Would you lift up your hands? You can be changed tonight. As I change the order of this call, can I tell you, Jesus did not save you for you to still be like you are. He didn't save you so that you can still be who you were. He saved you because he has a plan for your life. But he has to work some things out of our lives. God is at work. When Jeremiah was told to go to the potter's house, the Bible says that the potter puts the clay in the wheel and he begins to take and form, but there are deformities in the clay. Can I tell you, beloved, there are deformities in our lives that God has to, begin to form and shape so that he can make you and I, more and more into his image, and less and less into who you are. Will you allow Jesus tonight the right to change you, to help you, to make you, to shape you? The more that we fight, the more burdens that you and I are going to feel. The struggles, can I tell you, the more struggles that you and I, because God wants to shape your life into more and more into his image so that you can look more and more like him. We were saved to bring people to salvation. We were not just saved so that we can be in a comfortable state of life. Can God use your life tonight? Can God use your life tonight? He wants to use you to reach your households, to reach your communities, to reach other people's lives. Sheep bring sheep. Can you see the burden that Jesus here is proclaiming? Can you see when he says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden"? Can you feel the heartfelt heart of God. How God is trying to do a miraculous work here on earth. God wants to touch people's lives, but not only touch them, but he wants to change people's heart. Can God use you tonight? The altar is open. Come, lay hold of God. Ask God to help you. Ask God tonight to be able to move upon your life. That God would truly help you. Pastor, I don't know. Can I tell you? You won't know until you try what you can truly do for God. The saddest verse in the Bible for me is that verse where King Agrippa says, "You almost persuaded me to become a Christian." See, our work is just to tell people God does the saving. Amen. Our work is not to save people. You know, people say, "I thank God that you saved me." No, folks, it's God that does the salvation. All we are is to be the messengers that God, the heralders that God can use to proclaim, amen, the good news of the King. God wants to, amen, use our lives. God wants to listen. Many people will. It's amazing how much people will get saved if we only tell them. But if we don't tell them, how else can they get saved unless they hear? Can we be faithful tonight to tell them?